Let's open our Bibles tonight, go into Romans chapter 3, and I want us to remember back to last week, how it concluded in chapter 2, and so thankful to God that we know that all men are without excuse. Praise the Lord. That's how loving our God is. That is how wonderful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His Son died for all man's sins. I thank the Lord for that. It's all there. The sacrifice, praise God. It's finished. It's done. And because of that, all men are without excuse. And we know from the first chapter and the second chapter, whether it was the immoral man or the so-called moral man, without circumcision of the heart, without the blood applied, without the old man being dead and the new man living, praise be to God, without the blood of Jesus. Don't care how you try to justify yourself. I don't care how you try to think that you're pretty good. There's no goodness in you at all, because all are dead in their trespasses and sin. Praise the Lord. God's going to magnify one thing, and that's His Son. That's it. And God help us to get in tune with that as the sons of God, to be vessels that magnify and give praise to the glory of His grace and nothing else. Hallelujah. So now let's begin chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So we start out here in this third chapter, and it's very clear that the Jew is at advantage. And rightfully so, and mainly because, brothers and sisters, they receive the oracles of God. I'd like you to turn with me over to Acts. Let's go over to Acts chapter 7. We'll read a couple verses here that substantiate this thought. This is precious Stephen as he is getting ready to see Jesus. And he's speaking to that Sanhedrin council at this time. And how wonderful, he lets them know with a double-barrel Holy Ghost shotgun what it really is here. But in Acts 7, and we'll begin reading from the 37th verse. And he says to him, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Praise God. So we can begin to see that the oracles, brothers and sisters, are the word of God. But as he says here in the 39th verse, this is really what Romans 3 is getting at. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt. Even though they were given so much, even they were given it all, praise God, they just rejected it. They didn't want it. They turned it away. Let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll read from the 12th verse. That's Hebrews 5, verse 12. And this is Paul getting after him. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. So again, we see that second verse where it talks about, because chiefly what was committed unto the Jews were the oracles of God, it was the word of God. And when you have been given the word of God, let me tell you something, you have an advantage. Amen? Amen, you do. Thanks be to God, you do. And to whom much is given, much is required. And I thank God how much of the word you have been given. Matter of fact, if you sat around here for any length of time, by the grace of God, you have been preached the whole counsel of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, to whom much is given, much is required. As I tell many people, and I love to tell my sons, and I love for the Lord to tell me, son, your life won't sit right until you settle down with me. And it's the truth. I've been bought with a price. You have too. You're not your own. I'm not my own. I'm his. And praise be to God. It's a love that will not let me go. Praise his name. So, now you think this word advantage, and that's a good word on the surface, but you know this word advantage means exceeding, supreme, more excellent. Did you hear that? Exceeding, supreme, and more excellent. What an understatement and advantage. I want you to see this, brothers and sisters. This is nothing to take lightly. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 33. Maybe we'll get a little bit more understanding of how blessed the Jew is with God and what the Lord had given them. So in Deuteronomy 33, and we'll read from the 29th verse. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Love that. Go over to the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy. Let's read from the second verse. I'll tell you, when the Lord favors you, you're favored. Know it. And we got a better thing. 14:2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Let me tell you something. They got a promise, don't they? That is God's Israel. And even though for many, many centuries they've been acting an unfaithful wife, God will have her someday. Isn't that wonderful? What a love story there. Praise God. He's a jealous God. And the one thing is it's impossible for God to lie. And he's going to have them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see where he's going with this. Let's go back to the third verse of the third chapter of Romans. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Matter of fact, most Jews today, they don't believe, do they? They don't. Let's go on to verse 4. We'll get all of this in context. So again, it says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. See, God's word, brothers and sisters, is true. It's true, and make no doubt about it. Man's unbelief, even the word of God, and we'll read this in a minute, man's unbelief cannot change the truth. No matter what man wants to believe, the truth is the truth. Jesus Christ, the Word, the truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. Go over to Psalm 51, and you'll read this truth. And it's sweetly how David sang about it. In Psalm 51, I believe the fourth verse here. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Oh, I love that part of it. And done this evil in thy sight. But here it is, that thou mightest be justified when thou speaks. Isn't that something? See, the truth, that's him speaking the truth. He's going to be justified when he speaks and be clear, and this is again the truth, when thou judgest. So his truth will be magnified, what it's saying here, in judgment. No one will ever escape the truth. Think about how we read last week in chapter 2. And if you go back to chapter 2 and you look down there at verse 16 of Romans, about this precious gospel. And it says there that specifically, it's the gospel of grace. Paul's gospel is the gospel of grace, will judge the secrets or the intents of every man's heart by Jesus Christ. See, grace is going to judge it. Do you see that? Grace is really, if you think about it, the word of his grace, it is the judge. Whether it's going to be the judgment of the lake of fire or even the judgment of reward to us, brothers and sisters, it is all determined by the amount of God's grace received. Do you see that? If you never received the grace of God, then you've never been born again. If you don't receive the grace of God in any way, shape, or form, you are not born again. You have to receive the grace. By grace are you saved. Grace through faith. Amen? So if you reject grace completely, the judgment is the lake of fire. You receive any bit of grace, praise God, the mustard seed of grace for faith, that's the grace for faith, praise the Lord, born again. Hallelujah. And then from that moment on, how much more grace you're going to receive? See, I don't want to make any of that grace that's been bestowed upon my life in vain. Absolutely not. See, a Christian can still, once they're saved, they've received grace, obviously, and you are under grace. Any Christian, every Christian, whether they're living that way or not, they still are under grace. They're just living a lie if they think they're under the law. Amen? I can think I'm living underwater right now. But it is a lie. Amen? But it's even more so with God. If I think I'm under the law, I can try to put myself under the law. I can try to put chains on me and all of these things. Oh, but I'm free. And free indeed. Matter of fact, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But it's hard not to get to it because it's so wonderful how free we are. But this is truth. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, that this everything is determined by the grace of God. We could go on in this, and it is so marvelously wonderful. But again, just know it, receive it, and rejoice in it. Verse 5, Romans 3. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. So again, this is how man would be speaking. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. See, this is man, as Paul even saying here, I speak as a man. This is, again, how man's empty argument, man in their foolishness, even would think in arguing somehow with God or trying to get one up on God, that somehow man's unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly. That's what it's saying here. It's saying, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness, then it must increase God's glory. So then why am I going to be condemned as a sinner? I'm telling, brothers and sisters, we're at this point right now. This is a sick, sick thing. Now, so at the end, their conclusion is, let us do evil that good may result. And God's conclusion is, damnation, their damnation is just. Amen. See, God's gracious. Matter of fact, God is so gracious. But I'm going to tell you something, God's not going to be mocked. He will not be mocked. His word is true. God's going to do that which is right, and he is going to be true to his word, period. We can see, even in this statement, we can see the similarity of the flesh, because flesh is flesh. We understand that. And think about where Paul warns the believer in Romans 6:1. Do we sin willfully that grace may abound? God forbid. You see where flesh can go. Flesh always going to be like a dog. Amen? It is. If the Spirit's not reigning, let me tell you something, we're in trouble. And amen we are. And we'll get lots of different things. And there are people that are saved, praise God, but they'll try to live like that. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to really go out and exercise the grace of God. Just watch me. Huh? Well, that's not exercising the grace of God, dummy. It's not at all. When you really exercise the grace of God, you let Christ live in you. And then a transformation happens. And then it's really, truly, like, again, that out-of-body experience, because it really is, praise be to God, I'm just watching the new man reign. Watching that precious life, the very life of Christ, will and to do of his good pleasure. That's awesome. That's when you know by his grace that that grace is working effectually. The word of God is working effectually in us as we see even in our own lives the transformation from glory to glory into his very image. Thank the Lord. But here again, as we see in these verses here, this is those wicked thoughts of man's continuing, and it is the mind of man. But I'm going to tell you, but God. And in Revelation 21, all of that nonsense is going to be thrown and cast into the lake of fire. We're going to see that they will be just. He will be justified and know it, that he's going to be magnified in it. Let's just go back there for a minute. We read it last week, but it's exciting. It is. It's a wonderful thing to see how mighty is our God. But if you go to Revelation 21 and there in the verse 8, well, go to 7 because I like to get into that. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So you know that now are we the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? So we've overcome what they're getting into here, this second death. See, we're not going to ever face that. We're never ever going to face that great white throne of judgment. Praise the Lord. We're the only judgment again we have, brothers and sisters, as the sons of God. See, you see this? The sons of God. I will be his God and he shall be my son. I am a son of God. Now are we the sons of God? We do not enter into this judgment. We know that. The only judgment we have right now is the judgment seat of Christ for reward. Praise his name. Again, back to that wonderful grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I'm not under the law, why am I trying to do the works of the law? I'm under grace. Praise God. And he tells me to grow in that wonderful grace. The appreciation, the thankfulness, the love, hallelujah, of God. Amen. To know the love of Christ. Grace that's made me free, and free indeed, but the grace, praise God, that is growing me up, that's maturing me. The grace that let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, if I have that mind, I will understand and know the love of Christ. I'll know what he wants. I'll even begin to know the mystery, praise the Lord, of Christ in the church. That thanks be to God. He wants me to rule and reign together with him. He wants me to be glorified together with him. But I know that it's coming one way. If I'm willing and joyful even, thankful, can you imagine, in receiving the joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ. That's the love of Christ. Praise his name. But there in that seventh verse it says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and here we go, and all liars. And let me tell you what a liar is. Somebody that's going to try to mock God and say somehow that my unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly. That's a liar. So know it, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Romans 3. And here we go now into the ninth verse. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. You get it now? All under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care how sweet you think she is. I don't care how good you think that guy is. But he changes everybody's tires. Huh? I had a guy tell me that. And I'm telling you, not too long ago. Well, I stop for everybody and do that. But I'll tell you what. If you think somehow that God has taken favor on that, and you have denied the blood that was freely shed of his son, tell you what, you do not even want to approach that judgment that's going to be. What an insult. All right. So as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. And man thinks they're so smart. There is none that seeketh after God. See? You can't. You can't. Of yourself, you cannot seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Think of how he states all of this. All under sin, none righteous, none understands, none seeks me. They're all unprofitable, and there's not one that does good. See, God is laying it down. He could have said it just one time, there's none righteous, no, not one, but he wants us to really get this. The intent of a heart. You're either for me or you're against me. Know these things. If you're not for him, you're against him. I don't care how good it appears. It doesn't matter. The subtlety is even more deadly than the blunt that's against God. Oh, yes. That form of godliness, those perfect counterfeits, they do the most damage. And you know it. Those organizations, ooh, you know where all that goes. So, verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Now you understand that's why they cry peace and safety, and then, boom, sudden destruction. And we're right on the brink. Praise the Lord. It's here. We're right on the brink of this thing. So now, coming into this 18th verse, it's all concluded here. See, as we read in chapter 1, it said that man became unthankful. That man did not give glory to God. That man worshiped the creation more than the creator. And then finally, here's the culmination of it all in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Hey, we are here. We are so here. Blatant apostasy, the blasphemy that comes out of the mouths of so many public people. It's despicable. Our papers, our news, God help us. And that's the truth. We are here. The form of godliness that denies the power thereof is consuming everything. And the evil of man at the same time is waxing worse and worse. So you can see it on all sides. There's the stuff that's easy to see. And then there's the stuff that you wouldn't see but for the Word of God. Yeah. And that's why we need to grow up, because silly women and children, they can be led away. They can be deceived. And again, these are types. Please know this, brethren. So let's not get puffed up. But we need to be aware, because we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And God help us to not let down, but to press. Isn't that wonderful? And thanks be to God. We do not need to fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? And we don't need to be in that kind of a state. We need to be with our eyes affixed on the coming of the Lord. Now verses 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Wonderful what that law does. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what a high watermark we have here, brothers and sisters, because what the law says are to those that are under the law. Amen? Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And aren't you glad? Let's go over and read Romans 6:14 together. I love this. And it says, therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, you may think it does at times. You may. But here's the truth. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Isn't that sweet? Boy, I'll tell you, that's a blanket to get under all the time. When you go to bed, boy, just, boy, you pull up that, it's already on you anyways, but I like, I'm pulling up that grace blanket. All good. Thank you, Jesus. You'll sleep good when you know that grace. Just pull it up on you. Hallelujah. Wonderful stuff. But see, but I want you to understand what we just read there in that 19th verse is so wonderful. See, that wonderful law, it's wonderful in the work it does. It's against all unrighteousness. It stops it. It shuts it up. It manifests its guilt and justifies only one thing, that the righteousness of God is in Christ Jesus. That's what the law does. See, we enter in by faith, don't we? See, if you jump to the 31st verse of that third chapter, do we then make void the law through faith? Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. But always remember this. See, people read that and say, oh, well, see, I'm out there to establish the law. I'm here to keep it and to do it again. No, you dummy, you missed it again. Read the word of God. God forbid, yea, we establish the law, what? By faith. It's by our believing, by the grace of God. That's what's established the law in our lives. And if I still have to remember, oh yeah, I'm under grace. Stay with us on this one here. This is wonderful stuff. Therefore, verse 20. You gotta love that therefore there. See, it puts it all together. The law, brothers and sisters, we have to remember, was not given. Even though, see, man wants to do this with the law, that here's the moral compass for everybody. Here it is. That's why they put it up on the walls. That's why they put it on everywhere and just say, okay, here's our moral compass. The law was given absolutely for us to know how to live right. Let me tell you something. The word of God tells us the law was given for one thing, and that was to show our guilt. Not showing us how to live right. It was showing us that we couldn't. It showed us that we are guilty. It showed us that there was nothing that could ever be magnified, hallelujah, magnify the need for the grace of God and the magnify the need for the blood of Jesus Christ. Go with me over to Romans 5, and it'll tell us very clearly why the law was given. In verse 20 of Romans 5, moreover, the law entered, or the law came in by the way, that the offense might abound. The law was given to magnify sin. The law was given to show that sin runs amok. But where sin abounded because of what the law exposed, grace much more abound. grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, and that's all sin can reign to, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't it take your breath away, the perfection of our Lord? Isn't it absolutely beautiful how he orchestrated everything to magnify his Son? I mean, as the Spirit just reveals this, you know, as Brother Paul said, this was not given to me of any man. This was given to me by God himself. It's just too perfect. It's just too beyond. It's the rejoicing of our Father. Hallelujah. See, the law pointed us, brothers and sisters, to no other place to be made clean but the Savior. The law made it crystal clear that we need a Savior. The law made it without a doubt that ye must be born again. And oh, how we rejoice in this plan, that salvation is in no other name. In 1 John, let's go over there. And 1 John, we'll go to the first chapter. Just turn there for a moment. And in the 7th verse, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here we go. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, why do I read that? And why has all of this kind of come forth? Well, Satan wanted this to be a problem. Yeah, he did. He wanted to throw a whole big wrench in this thing. But see, what a problem was that Satan thought was a problem was no problem to God. Always remember that. God has no problems. Not even you. He doesn't. God, through Christ alone, could justify a sinner without justifying sin. I love that statement. I was with Sister Bodie, and I love that. Listen to that again. God, through Christ alone, could justify a sinner without justifying sin. Praise the Lord. Why? By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. How simple and beautiful, exciting the grace of God is. There's no other glory but in the cross. Let's go on to verse 21, back in Romans 3. But now, you got to love but now. That's our realm, brothers and sisters, but now. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the righteousness of God, is Jesus Christ. And think about what the Word of God says. He's been made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We've got it all in one place, in one life. And that life, praise God, liveth in me. And that's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's all there. God has fully supplied us. He's absolutely enriched us. As he says in Galatians 4:1, we're little lords of all. And here we go. Now what are we going to do with it? Don't waste your life. God help me, Lord, don't let me waste all of that ability, all of that potential. My goodness, in the basketball world, we're all Michael Jordans. Could you imagine that? And that is the biggest understatement there could ever be. But that's kind of what we got. But you get what I'm getting at. You got it all. You're even more than a champion because you're a more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. You see that? It's there. It's all there. It's finished. Every way of escape has been made. You've been given all sufficiency in all things, all ways, to superabound to every good work. We're talking about us, not some other church over there. Us in Christ. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, Lord, help my unbelief. This is what it is. It's fighting the good fight of faith. It's laid out for us. It's fighting off those lies moment by moment. That's what it is. Because whatsoever is not of truth is a lie. And I've come to find out so sweetly, if you really think about a lie, it doesn't exist. It's never happened because it's a lie. It's make-believe. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. We might have only 4 or 5 people to talk to someday, huh? They'll quit talking to you. Praise the Lord. Now you think about this. It's Him, brothers and sisters. The righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, has met every demand of the law for us. Isn't that wonderful? Every demand of it. Wonderful. Completely fulfilled the law for us. And then in this verse, notice how far apart He took this law from us. Look in that 21st verse. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Read that again. But now the righteousness of God without the law. That's your life. That's your life. How awesome, how wonderful. He abolished this law for us. He nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. We are not under it. We live freely. We live, praise God, just as if there is no law. Go over to Romans 4:15. We're weak, brothers and sisters. This is why He has to tell us all these different ways how free we are. How our liberty in Christ is just that. 4:15, because the law works wrath, and we know it, don't we? Doesn't it? Huh? You know it does. That's all it can work. For where no law is, look at that, there is no transgression, there is no sin. Where there is no law, there is no sin. I think I've heard of this verse in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So I must be, because I'm born of God, I must now be born in a realm where there is no law. You get there now? I live in not just the world, the universe beyond of grace. Everything else that would try to tell me different is a lie, for the Bible tells me so. So now we know, brothers and sisters, as we've read these different verses, the law points only to Christ as the satisfier. Amen. The only thing that could satisfy, which, and did satisfy the law. He did it. He nailed it to the cross. But then it's given to me by obviously believing in Jesus, because that life comes in to live in me. But it's not just that the law did it. The prophets too spoke of it. And I love it because we're without excuse. Go over to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin, of all those sins. Isn't that something? These are the prophets. Listen to that. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Remember a few Sunday nights ago, Praise the Lord, we had a little study on that. And about how salvation in the name of Jesus, praise be to God, in that name was professed throughout the Old Testament very, very clearly. That salvation was in no other name. Praise God. Emmanuel. And he is with us. Hallelujah. All right, let's close this out. Let's go over to back to Romans 3. And let's get to verse 22. And here's how sweet it is. And praise God, as we read this, think of this. This is how you get it. And praise God, this is how we got it. All right? Even the righteousness of God, here we go, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, amen, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Jesus. All have come short of Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So it's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in God. Not faith in a baptism. Not faith in works. Not faith in what church I belong to. But faith alone and only and in nothing else but faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there is no difference. Isn't that wonderful as well too? For every man, whether Jew or Gentile, it has got to be faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God. Praise God. Enoch walked with God. Praise God. It's by faith. Read that wonderful 11th chapter of Hebrew. You'll never read by works. You'll never read by goodness. You'll never read by diligence. You'll never read by man's strength. You'll never read by my attendance at church. You're only going to read by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Praise the Lord. And in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. Now, it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful that there is no difference, as it's saying here, in salvation. And then you have to remember this too, that once we are saved, praise God, we are one. Amen? And every one of God's children has the same life in them. Amen. All of those different lives died, right? Isn't that Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. I died. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's our life. There is no difference. Praise be to God. We have the very same life. We are all the sons of God. One in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. We're all one new thing. Praise God, the new man. Here we go. Here we go. Sons of God. Wonderful. Set it there and leave it. Now, in verse 23, it brings us right back to the collective guilt by Adam. Never forget this. By one man, sin entered and was given to us all. Everyone. Go over to Romans 5. This will just give you more excitement as you go to bed tonight. All right? We might go to heaven tonight. I don't know. But you'll have more excitement either way. So, Romans 5, verse 12. It says there, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you see how many times he tells us? It must be very important to be reminded of this, wouldn't you think? Huh? In case we got just a wee bit puffed up in something, I'm starting to understand more and more what that little pinky nail that Brother Hill would always talk about. If I could just clip that pinky nail. I just think, why is he talking about that pinky nail again? Now I know why. Maybe he'll have even us find something smaller. You get it? Anything but Jesus. Anything. Oh, what an abomination. Now go down to verse 18 of the fifth chapter of Romans. So we know that by one offense, here it came. Therefore, as by the offense of one man, one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Oh, here's the beauty. Even so by the righteousness of one. And see, he's the only one. He's it. He is righteousness. He's righteousness. He's my righteousness. He's your righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Go down to 21. That as sin hath reigned into death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. See the grace? Grace reigns through the righteousness. Hallelujah! Unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. And then, praise God, how beautiful. Verse 24, and we'll close it up with this tonight. I think that's all we'll get through, and so much to chew on anyways. But you think about that, being justified freely, there in the third verse. Justified freely. See, that word freely means grace, undeserved grace. And think of that. So being justified by undeserved grace, by his grace. See, there's your grace for grace. Huh? Once again, all over this thing. All through the redemption, the deliverance. That's what redemption means, deliverance. Paying the ransom. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. And let's read... Where do you want to go? Verse 5. For there is one God, amen, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yep. Boy, what we saw today, huh? What a verse to read. Let's read that again, just in case somebody's listening. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Who gave himself, see, he gave himself, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? A ransom for all, man, for me, for all, to be testified in due time. So he paid the price that only he, his blood, could pay. There was a death sentence, brothers and sisters, over all men. But the blood of Jesus paid it all. And praise God, the Lamb of God, he took our place. And in closing, there's one little thing more that's even a little more special about this word redemption. This word redemption, this redeemed, means to never be exposed to sell again. You were bought. You were redeemed. But praise be to God, you were redeemed with the redemption that you can never, never, never be purchased again forever, forever, forever. My seed remaineth. As 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 tells us, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Here we go. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We'll close it there. It's so wonderful. If the Lord tarry, we're going to have to pick it right back up there next week. How's that, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.